You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
I was flipping through the channels the other day, but there was nothing good on, I had nothing to play. So I went to my computer and realized that there was so much content before my eyes. But there's nothing but Netflix in my heart and on my screen. There's always something good that I still haven't seen. But maybe one day we can try and watch the rest.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. Nothing But Netflix is back with a very spooky episode to talk about the 2022 film, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Not the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That's actually a different film. Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2022 edition. Let's bring in a man who is coming to us live from Texas, yes. Site of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Here is Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
I'm at the scene of the crime.
Texas correspondent Chappelle.
Yes, it's me, I'm afraid this is not safe. Yeah. Why do I live here? If this is happening here, why do I live here? What's the reason?
Chappelle, how big is Texas Chainsaw Massacre in Texas?
Oh, we're all seeing the same Netflix film that y'all are watching. Like, that's it. It's not like we talk about it on a daily basis. It's not like some urban legend that we actually talk about. As far as I'm concerned, maybe people really hold dear to this story and
beloved story,
this murder, yeah, and all this stuff. But it is not my neck of the woods. This is not something that like I've cared about for a very long time.
Okay, we've got a full recap here. Just Rob and Chappelle here today to talk about a very weird movie.
Yeah, this is different. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you clarified that this is not the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. This is Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah,
not to
the Texas Chainsaw Massacre is actually a different remake of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And this is some sort of like a sequel.
Right. There's been, what, 7 or 8 of these so far? The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, Leatherface, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3, mm-hmm, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Next Generation, the mm-hmm Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Beginning, Texas Chainsaw 3D, Leatherface, then the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, mm-hmm, a lot of those. It's almost like they're running out of things to do with this, with this franchise.
Right. So, they've actually, I think, have had 2 different films named The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. This is just mm-hmm Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah. So, yeah, there was The Texas Chainsaw Massacre and its sequels. And then you had The Texas Chainsaw Massacre again and its sequel. And then, yes, you had Texas Chainsaw 3D. And now you have Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
And don't forget about 2017's Leatherface.
Yes, and Leatherface, you know, like the anthology, you know, version of this. This is so silly. Mm-hmm. I feel like at least change the title enough to where it's recognizable which one you're watching. Like, you should not have mm-hmm to go in and Google which version of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre this is. By now, you should just be changing the titles. But this is exactly what they're doing with those Fast and Furious, you know, Furious.
It's a little bit of a different path. Because that at some point they didn't like reboot Fast and Furious with like different canon. It's like, you know, at least the Fast and the Furious films, even though some of them are out of order, at least it's like what you're following the story of these characters. And then you get into like Hobbs and Shaw, which is not technically part of the, but I think it's still canon, Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh, okay. Yeah. None of this is canon. Or is it, right? Because we do have some cameos from people from the earlier like storyline. So I guess this one is canon.
Yeah. If I had to say that, I feel like that Texas Chainsaw Massacre that we're talking about today follows in. I think that obviously the 1974 Texas Chainsaw Massacre and then maybe the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 are canon here in this universe, and potentially Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3. But then I think then the stuff that was with Michael Bay from 2003, I think is not canon. I don't know about Leatherface or anything like that. That was sort of like reimaginings of this world.
Gotcha. So this is the closest thing to the original storyline that we're going to get. Is that what you're saying?
I guess so. So this one takes place, it's like almost 50 years. I mean, it's like, we can't wait until it's really 50 years. Let's get this out at 48 years.
Well, you know, remember when Halloween did H2O because it was 20 years?
Yes.
See, 20 years is like a decent span of time to do something like that. But 50 years, that's a big stretch because at some point people have to move on to bigger things or, you know, the afterlife. Mm-hmm. So like they're not going to be around to remake this like Texas Chainsaw Massacre 80 years later with the original cast. Like, I don't think that's going to work.
So
they had to jump the gun a little bit.
Yeah. So we got a full recap here coming up of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And we'll talk about that. Chappelle, last week, we talked about part one of Genius. I'm trying to say it like more Kanye.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like Bryce.
No. Kanye puts a lot of emphasis on like the starts of certain syllables. But I know you watched part two of Genius.
I did. You haven't caught it yet?
I haven't watched it yet. Did you recommend it was just as good as part one?
Yeah, just as good as part one. Some of our predictions about where it would end and begin kind of align. But it seemed like in part one, he had done the hard stuff, right? Like he had already paid all his dues and it was about to start paying off in part two. And that is not necessarily the case. We find out that there's a few more obstacles for Kanye before he becomes the Kanye that we all know and saw rise to fame. And so, yeah, there's a little bit more, depth to part two than I was expecting. And then part three is what we all expect, which is like, I guess, like recent Kanye shenanigans. And so I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
Well, probably not that.
We didn't get that far.
Yeah, that Kanye exists like today, currently.
That's going to be part four. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. But yeah, that's going to take us closer to, election time Kanye, if you will.
Okay. All right. So you can check all of that out in our Nothing But Netflix podcast feed. Rob has a website.com/Netflix feed. And myself, and especially Chappelle, really appreciates when you give us your star ratings and reviews at Apple Podcasts. Just click on the link. Right, Chappelle, you truly appreciate that.
Oh yeah, love it. Go give us 5-star reviews.
And the people that don't do that, obviously don't respect you.
They don't. And I'm trying to figure out like why. Like what did I do to not earn your respect? And then like what do I need to do? You know, like I don't want to know what I need to do, but also like in my head I'm kind of thinking like, but do I want to know what I need to do? Mm-hmm. So, if you respect me or even if you just listen to the podcast, 5-star reviews only. And we like to see those.
Is there a chainsaw emoji?
I hope not. I hope not. What would you use that for? Like, I'm just out lumberjacking. Why would you use that? If anybody ever sends you a chainsaw emoji, just go ahead and block them.
Yeah. What if it's like, I have to go like, do some, I'm a lumberjack.
Yeah, I just feel like there's an axe, and that's not that much less menacing, but a chainsaw is a very specific action, I think we should get rid of that one. You know how they got rid of the gun emoji and made it a water gun?
I don't think there's a chainsaw emoji.
Yeah, we don't need one.
Probably not even I think there is a saw emoji.
I think that's a different movie. Yeah. We'll come back for that next year, I think.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be another one of those. You want to talk about reboots and remakes?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not done with Saw.
Okay. Well, that's a whole different path that we can go down to talk about the Jigsaw and everything that he's got going on. All right, let's talk about Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Chappelle, have you seen any Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies prior to this?
Yes, but not enough to like care, right? So like I saw it and then I went away from it, and then I saw it and I went away from it. So like at no point have I ever been like living and breathing for the next Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like I'm pretty sure I saw the McConaughey Renee Zellweger version. I thought that was like the main canon. I thought we were just kind of ignoring the one from the 70s as a family.
McConaughey was in a Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie.
Yeah, him and Renee Zellweger.
Which one was that? Was that the 2003 one?
The Next Generation, I believe it's called.
Oh my God.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Deep Space Nine.
Okay. So this is this like prior to them being, so this is 94. I guess this is really the sort of the very beginning of McConaughey's powers. Renee Zellweger, I think that this might be like pre Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, this is kind of like 94. Their breakout roles.
This is 94.
Yeah, this is the breakout roles for both of these people. Like, I don't think they're their first roles by any means. Like, I'm pretty sure Renee Zellweger was in Dazed and Confused. But like by 96, Jerry Maguire comes out, right? So this is before that. So yeah, I think this is kind of like the origin story, or at least that version of Texas Chainsaw Massacre is the origin story of those two actors.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You haven't seen it?
No, I never saw it. I'm not a big horror movie guy. I mean, this stuff doesn't really scare me. Like, I'm much more like a sort of like supernatural horror. I don't like any of things like the house is haunted. there's a maniac on the loose with a chainsaw. It's like,
life happens. Yeah. If you can logic your way through it, then it's kind of like, it's not that scary, right? If you can tell yourself that this is improbable, it could happen. It probably did happen, but it the odds of it happening to me are slim to none. So I'm less afraid of it. Whereas if it's like ghosts or vampires or something like that, it's kind of like, what exempts you from it? You know what I'm saying? And so at that point, you're like, I guess that could happen to anybody. Whereas like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, very obviously you'd need to be in Texas. You need to be not minding your own business. And then you also need to like be in this very specific town with this very specific killer.
Yeah.
So I think it's easier to separate yourself from, you know, the fear aspect of it.
Yeah, Chappelle, the thing about Leatherface, the spoiler alert, the main bad guy of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies is that he's very like slow and lumbering. And he also like carries like a very loud weapon. So as long as you don't like pin yourself in, like, I feel like that should be one of the easiest deaths to avoid in these movies.
Well, the thing with Leatherface is that although he is lumbering and kind of like, you know, he's almost like he's always working with like a leg injury, like he's always kind of limping around. But the thing is, his athleticism will shock you because he slings that chainsaw like Captain America's shield sometimes. Like he throws it, it bounces off the wall, catches it in the back end. Yeah, like what is that about? I didn't know you could do that. And then like there's a point where he hammer throws like the sledgehammer like down the stairs and like it bounces off the this man might be Thor. So I think there's things to worry about. But yeah, there's probably he's probably have the biggest margin of you actually getting away from him than any other like horror film. There are some other ones that you just can't elude, whereas he's kind of like the biggest trap is that you're stuck in Texas, right? In the middle of the desert by the time you get in touch with him.
That's
so
true.
It's kind of like trying to get away from him is which way do you go? Where can you hide? You know, and then also is the town in on it? Do they know this guy's here? Because they kind of suck too. So I think that's probably the issue that people run into with Leatherface the most.
So the thing that was appealing to me about this Texas Chainsaw Massacre on Netflix was the idea of that they are influencers who run into Leatherface in this movie. And this is kind of like what would happen if 20-somethings Austin ended up moving into Leatherface's town.
Yeah, in a way. But I thought that was the premise of the movie, but you don't get a lot of that.
Not a lot.
I really thought they were going to lean into the social media aspect of it, right? And like maybe parody some of the well-known hype house stars that we know.
Yep.
And like make you feel more invested in the characters. Like even Kiefer and I were talking, and he's like, "Who made a cameo in the film?" I was like, "Nobody,
nobody."
Like I really thought this is where we were going to get our like, you know, TikTok sensations, but it just seemed like that was kind of just like a social commentary that they wanted to make. It didn't actually play a part in the film. You could have told me these people's jobs was whatever, and it wouldn't have changed anything.
Well, Chappelle, I feel like that they are trying to make some social commentary, but I gotta be honest, I don't know exactly what they're going for. It seems like they throw a lot of stuff in there, but it's sort of just like they just like sort of like are shouting out a lot of things, but I feel like that the film doesn't really have like a message about any of the things that it brings up. For instance, that a big plot point in the film is one of the young women in the movie has been through a school shooting.
And in a way, it's not a big plot point at all, because mm-hmm. it doesn't change any interaction throughout the entire film. Like mm-hmm. it just, this woman could have just been anti-guns. Like the shooting yeah. aspect did nothing for the character. It was gratuitous almost, like, mm-hmm. like school shootings are bad. Look at this person. And you're like, oh, okay. And then you're thinking that maybe like you'll get more flashbacks. Maybe you'll get more ramifications of what that meant from her. No. Just a few PTSD moments.
Yeah. And the part I thought was kind of gross about it was that it was, and not like other things that are gross in this movie in more of like the literal sense. Yeah. But mm-hmm. that it was like, oh, you know, I survived a school shooting. You know, she had like a bullet hole like in her chest. And then she's like, then is like exposed to guns. And it's kind of like she overcomes her fear of guns after the school shooting.
In a way, it felt like that. But look, I would have thought that was a message, but they didn't even go all the way that mm-hmm. direction. So you're right. It's like they never picked a lane. They were just kind of like, shout out to school shootings. Shout yeah. out to recovering from school shootings. Shout out to not recovering from school shootings. Aren't guns bad, but don't you wish mm-hmm. you had a gun in this moment? Like, there were several times right. where I was like, I wish they had a gun. And I am very much not a very pro-gun person, but I was like, a gun would be nice here. But then I kept looking at this woman having a flashback, and I was like, well, maybe she doesn't need to be around guns. Maybe she needs peace, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was a lot. It was a lot. It was okay. everywhere.
Well, let's talk through it. So maybe you could help me understand what's happening here in the movie, because there's a car full of young people.
A Tesla.
They have a Tesla. Okay, that's again. We got like all right. Let's put a Tesla in the movie. Okay. No real reason why they have to have a Tesla, but they have a Tesla because
there's a reason.
They are young influencers.
It pays off in the end, Rob. Who's going to drive a Tesla on its own without having the Tesla having autopilot?
Like, I guess so. But you think Tesla paid to have this exposure?
I think they paid Tesla.
You think Elon is a big Texas Chainsaw Massacre fan?
Probably a huge one.
Probably. Like,
yeah. There weren't many commentaries about capitalism in there. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, all right. So there are these young people. There's four of them. I don't know. They're kind of influencers, but we don't really know what they do. They have some sort of like, is it like a cooking YouTube channel?
Yeah, it's literally a cooking YouTube channel, and I'm guessing that's where they get all their followers. It's Street Cuisine by M&D.
M&D, which is Mel and Dante.
Yeah, Mel and Dante. They're a cooking duo. And then along with them for the ride is Mel's girlfriend or wife. And then Mel's girlfriend or wife.
Yeah, it's got Dante's girlfriend.
Yeah, Dante's girlfriend or wife and Mel's sister Lila.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And then they're going from like they have this cooking YouTube channel and they're so successful. They've bought like an abandoned Texas town outside of Austin that they are going to turn into some sort of a commune called Dontopia.
Okay, I think the Dontopia thing might have been a joke, yeah. but everything up to that point is not. Like, mm-hmm. they found basically like a town where everything has been seized by the banks. And now the bank is willing to offer, like, to auction this stuff off. And so they felt like, oh, look, we're young millennial people or Gen Zers. Or I don't know who these, what age range these people are, but they're young and they have ideas and they can start a life here where they bring in all their young influencer friends and they can have storefronts for all their businesses and everybody can live happily ever after. But this is 7 hours outside of Austin, allegedly. And so it's not even close to anything remotely of its nature. And so I think they're trying to build like a tourist attraction, like a town, like an influencer town just for people to come visit and also give them a lot of money.
So this is like after like South by Southwest, then you can drive up to M&D and check out their whole town that they took over.
Right. Like there are towns like that in Texas, or it's not like influencer towns, but they're definitely like towns that look like they could be ghost towns, but they're just like, oh, we just never changed anything from the olden days. And it's like still very dusty. It looks like the whole town is a Cracker Barrel. Like that's pretty much how Texas likes to roll sometimes. And so it wasn't a shock that this was happening. It was more like, it wasn't a wise choice. You just don't do that in Texas. This is not the place for that.
Yeah. How much money do you need to buy an abandoned town?
I honestly, I've heard there's some really cheap abandoned towns out there. I'm not even lying. Yeah. Like it's a thing that if you Google it, there are like certain like areas where they're like, you could buy this entire city for like $3,000.
$3,000.
Yeah. Wow. It's dirt cheap out there these days. And so but there's a reason why that stuff be dirt cheap. Look around, look at your area and look what you're surrounded by. Seven hours in Texas. If you're anywhere that's 7 hours away from something else in Texas, it's desert. It's just desert. It's like you're on an island with no water. It's just desert for miles. And so this is a bad plan. It doesn't sound like a smart thing to do, but they're doing it anyway.
Chappelle, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but
do it.
Let's say hypothetically, you came into $3,000 and you were able to purchase this town. The name is going to be a work in progress.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Not Chappelle-topia.
Not Chappelle-topia, but we're working on it. What does that look like?
I don't know, because I'm so... I don't know, Rob. I'm the worst person to start any town or any venture like this because it would just be the bare minimum. It would just, I don't know. Like, especially in Texas in the middle of the desert, Rob, this is bleak. This is bleak. I would never do this. I'm trying to put myself in this headspace and I just don't think it's something that I could wrap my mind around.
Okay.
Maybe we'll bring in the podcasters. Maybe that'll be the thing.
That's where the Hype House will live.
Yeah. And then I'll run the local speakeasy, you know, that'll be my job. I'm like the bartender talking to everybody with wiping down the tables and stuff. Yeah, that's my job at in the RHAP town. And you, of course, would be the governor.
Like on The Walking Dead?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I'm glad you got the reference. I'm like, not the governor of the town, but the governor.
Like, literally. I'll wear an eye patch. Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Chappelle, let's talk about the plot of the movie. We start off and we're watching like VHS tape footage of the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre events. And we're at a gas station. I think the gas station was involved in the actual Texas Chainsaw Massacre canon. And they have like some like it's also like become like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre like gift shop, right?
Yeah, it's like this is the only thing this town is known for is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre events. So you see like clippings of magazines and like newspaper articles. It's like, oh, look at this gruesome murder that happened here. So yeah, that's exactly what this is. This is one of those towns that I would tell you not to stop in. Like if I was like, oh, you're driving through Texas, just keep going.
Yeah.
Like, oh, have you ever heard of Heiko? No, then just keep driving. You know, like that's the kind of thing I would do in this moment. But they're here. It's a mistake, but here they are.
Okay. And so we have these kids. They're gassing up the car. There's a guy who pulls up, and this guy is named Richter, I believe. Yeah, Richter.
Yeah.
And a little bit of a question. Was he going to be a good guy or a bad guy? It's kind of in between.
That's typically how certain people in Texas act sometimes. Mm-hmm. You can't really tell. Yeah. You're like, this guy seems shady, but also, you know, I don't really have any other choices right now. I don't have anywhere else to turn, so I got to utilize him.
Right.
Yeah. He's not a serial, you know, chainsaw massacre, you know, killer or whatever, but he's probably not my favorite person in the film.
No,
you know?
No.
No.
So he is, has a firearm, Chappelle.
Yeah. See, he's minding his own business. Yeah. And this is where I say, like, this is why some of this stuff is very improbable, because you leave that man alone. You don't make enemies with random people in random Texas towns that don't have a stoplight. You just don't do it. And these people were like, oh, look at his gun. It must mean he's compensating for something. Like, see, why y'all let this man business? He wasn't bothering you. You might need that man later on. You never know. So that's exactly what's happening here.
Yeah. And so he says, actually, that there are feral hogs. And I have to, you know, sometimes use my firearm. That's what you do when you have an invasive species. And I think he was really talking about them.
Yes. Is he saying like influencers are invading? Because it seems like the town knows this is happening. Yeah. Like the surrounding area is like, these damn influencers are on their way to influencers, you know, like, there's going to be a pink berry here soon. You know, I don't know why
they still make a lot of pink berries.
I don't know.
Yeah.
They don't put those in my neighborhood. Yeah. If one pops up in my neighborhood, I'd probably get moving out. So
get out.
Yeah. Not by choice. My days are numbered. That property tax go up. I'm out of here.
Okay. So the kids are driving into the town, and then they get pulled over by the local law enforcement, who also is not too excited to see them.
Yeah, this was triggering for me, because again, you be in these towns that you know you shouldn't even stop at, and then you get pulled over by the cop, especially with my man's Dante driving here. Dante. Like, oh, Dante, driving while black in Harlow, Texas. You know, classic mistake here. Harlow is a fictional town, but make no mistake, you could plug any random town in.
Sure.
Invited Texas. Yeah. Listen, if I ever got pulled over in Invited Texas, it's a wrap. But they pull over Dante here, and they're just like, so like, where y'all going? What, we don't take kindly to new people and all this other stuff. Like, make sure y'all respect the town. But Mel in the backseat is like, no, it's cool. My grandma grew up here. And I was thinking, oh, maybe her grandma has something to do with the storyline. No. Rob, I don't think so.
No.
I don't think.
No.
This was nothing.
Yeah.
This literally was nothing.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was just that she knew, like, the password to get into the town of when Harlow sunflower blooms, winter is doomed.
I bet money that if Dante said that same thing, they would have dragged him out of that car. Like, Dante, just let Mel handle it. You'll be okay.
Yeah.
But at this point, I'm telling you right now, like, throughout this film, I was trying to track, like, when I would have been out. Like, when would have been the moment I turned around? I think it would have been this moment. I'd be like, you know what? I don't need this. I don't need this right
just
now.
Just the sheriff stopping them. That was like...
Yeah, like, cause who just stops somebody just because, like, you're just in town? We're just checking on y'all. Yeah. I'm giving you my card. You're the sheriff. I know how to call 911. Yeah.
Now, you don't think that they should have played the card of like, hey, do you know who I am? I own this town. I'm Dante.
Yeah. No, but they're going to get there eventually.
I just bought this town, baby. They're you work for me now. I pay your salary.
They're slow playing it, but eventually these kids do kind of get full of themselves. They get humbled very quickly in this film.
Mm-hmm. You're looking at the new mayor of
the
Harlow.
New governor. It's me, the governor, Dante.
The governor. Okay, so they pull into Harlow, ghost town. There seems to be like completely unoccupied other than this one guy that they saw at the gas station. And they're going to run into an old woman also.
No, run into is a very like kind way of putting this.
Yeah.
They invade this woman's home. So what happens is they're outside. They're thinking, oh, man, look at the real estate here. I mean, people are going to come in. We're going to bring food trucks and fucking avocado toast. Like, we're going to make this place like the most social media influency as we can. Right. And then they look up and they're like, oh, crap, it's a Confederate flag. They're like, what? In Texas? Yeah. It's like, yeah, really? They have those here. And so they're like,
yeah, no word okay, about where. I guess where are they from? Are they from coming from California? They drive here in the Tesla.
It really sounds like they're just from Austin, and it just sounds like they forgot where they were at. You know, like they were in like a bubble, and then like they're like, oh, you know, people out here ain't as friendly as in Austin. Like, no kidding. But yeah, so they have to go inside this orphanage to pull down the Confederate flag because, you know, the people are coming. All the people for this big event that they're having, the investors, the auctioneers. Yeah, so they got to take this down because no one's going to want to live in a town that, you know, has a Confederate flag hanging from one of the buildings. The whole deal could be
off,
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like it's not Texas, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So they go into this random building that they assume is unoccupied, and they're trying to take down the flag, and that's when they're confronted by the woman who lives in the orphanage, you know, that they're in.
So this part was a little confusing for me because when they first got there, I thought they had just bought a building, and the building they had bought is the building that had the Confederate flag. And they go, I didn't realize until later they bought the whole town.
Yeah, it's like they hadn't bought the whole town. Like, they didn't have the paperwork, but they basically were having like a big auction so people could buy the whole town. Like, they basically like reserved the right. Like, hey, we talked to the bank and got the bank to like auction off all these buildings. We're bringing in all these folks. Mm-hmm. They had like one of the buildings, but like the rest of those people came in to kind of like kick off the like, oh, the other influencers buying spaces. So it's like they put it on retainer, basically. Yeah. You know, they were having this event to make sure that their people got the first pick. And, you know, buying these buildings.
Mm-hmm. And so Dante's trying to reach the flag, wants to take it down, can't reach it. They run into the old lady who's on oxygen. Mm-hmm. She seems pretty nice.
Yeah, she seems pretty nice considering people are in her home, but they're not.
And also considering that she's been, you know, fostering Leatherface for the last 48 years.
That's true. Yeah, you kind of have to wonder like how nice of a person you have to be to not get murdered by that guy. Like, so she has to be the nicest woman who ever existed. Like, because you can imagine just like anything could just set him off, you know. And so, this he doesn't say this is a sweet old lady. Not, you know, a little problematic. I would be weary of her, you know, just of her strong use of the word Negroes. You know, I was like, not to say that that's a problem, just is too much edge on it. And so, aside from that, her defense of the Confederate flag, she seems normal. You know, I said, run of the mill Texas old lady.
Yeah. Now she says that no, there's a mistake that I paid the bank. I own this house.
Yeah.
So, no. And they have, no.
Yeah, they have no patience for her at all. They're like, no, you don't. And she's like, yes, I do. And they're like, no. Well, she's like, no, I'm pretty sure I got this covered. They're like, well, let me see the paperwork. I'm like, okay, calm down. Y'all just walked to this woman's home and y'all are demanding paperwork. Basically, once she says Negroes, Dante's out. He's tired of talking about Confederate flags, tired. And she called him boy. You know, there's a lot of things here Dante should be running from. So he does. He's like, I'm going to go get the cops, which, from my point of view, you should have did that the moment you saw that lady in that house. You should have been like, you know what? Let me call the police. We'll get this sorted out. But y'all tried to force this lady's hand and get her to hand over some paperwork like you were her boss or something like that. You don't know her.
Mm-hmm. Now,
leave people alone.
The police, maybe they know who they're working for in this town because they side very much with the influencers and Dante. And they're like, all right, lady, you got to go. We told you to get out of this house. And they start to remove her by force.
Yeah. And, you know, in these moments, you know, between Dante going and getting the police and Mel trying to reason with the lady, like there's a lot going on, but we do get our first glimpse of Leatherface. He's just kind of hanging
up the stairs. And by the way, like Leatherface is like on his best behavior during all of this, does not even come down the stairs really during the whole altercation where the old lady is getting roughed up.
Yeah, like, well, they're like kind of charging the lady up and Leatherface is like, no, she told me to chill. I'm good. She seems like she can handle herself. Mm. But when the cops come in to take the lady away or to help, you know, talk to the lady, she basically starts having like a very violent physical reaction to this. Like she's vomiting. She's needing more oxygen. And Leatherface darts down the stairs. He carries her into the back of the sheriff car. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, do y'all not know that's Leatherface? Because look at him. You know, like, it's not that he's wearing the skin face mask currently, but he's like 6'7", 250 pounds.
Right.
Looks like he could throw a mean chainsaw. Like, I think you could ascertain that this might be the guy you've been searching for 50 years. Just, you know.
Yeah.
Where has this guy been? You know, he just came out and people just thought it was normal. I would have been terrified.
Yeah. All right. So they're going to take the old lady away and they're going to get her to the hospital. Dante's wife or girlfriend is going to go with them also.
And I'm confused about that. Like, I understand that they felt bad about the woman, you know, and her reaction. They're like, I'll ride with her. No, you go. I'll go. No, I'll go. No, I insist.
Well, Mel wanted to go. I was like, no, Mel, we need you here. You gotta meet with the investors.
But like, I get it. Y'all feel really bad that woman is ill. But also, what is it going to benefit her that y'all were there with her? Like that you went to the hospital with them? Like, what is that going to do? Like, the woman is going to go get medical assistance. Why are you going? Are you her next of kin and we just didn't know it?
Maybe she's like their lawyer. And it's like, hey, in case this old lady is saying anything, I'm going to be here to tell you what really happened.
It just felt like a mistake. Again, there are three people that you know in this town and you are leaving them all behind to go ride around with four people that you don't know.
Yeah.
One, which is huge. Two, which are like, you know, these shady police officers from this ghost town that just pulled you over for no reason. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I just don't think I would want me in that position. I would be minding my own business.
All right. Well, they're going to go off to go to the hospital, which apparently is very far away. So the bus pulls up with the banker, the investors, and all of the influencers in Austin.
Yeah, it's the world's oldest bus. It looks like the Temptations rolled in. You know, like, I was like, oh, look, why are y'all on this, like, this charter bus? I was like, oh, the Globetrotters are coming. Wow, I didn't know. Like, I was just trying to figure out why they couldn't get, like, a legit coach bus. They exist. This is a present day film, Rob.
Yeah, and they don't go to Harlow.
No, I was like, did y'all just go pick up? Whose bus is this? Who does this belong to? It's very weird.
It was the Harlow Globetrotters.
The Harlow Globetrotters.
This was their bus. This is the only bus that takes you to Harlow. So they bring them in. Mel is acting weird. She's been through something. Okay. So back in the ambulance. Okay. Old lady, bad news, fam. She's not going to pull through.
Yeah, she's not going to make it, probably because she's riding in the back of the sheriff's car with the oxygen tank. Like, that's all she has for assistance. There's actually no medical care here. Yeah. It's just them driving her at normal speed.
Leatherface tries to, like, he's going into, like, emergency procedure. He's, like, turning the oxygen thing all the way up. I'm like, Leatherface, you're going to blow this car up.
No, he's a regular Meredith Grey. He's like, she's coding. Help, give me some help. Give me a scalpel, damn it.
Clear.
And the cop is just like, I don't know what you want me to do.
Easy,
so, yeah.
Now,
so, yeah, the woman's dead.
Well, Leatherface's mom says to him, hey, my last words, whatever you do, stay out of my room.
Yeah, don't go in there.
Like, okay, I wrote this down. Plot point. Stay out of old lady's room. Okay. Jamel, okay. Did that come up again?
I mean, it does.
It does?
And it's a really big thing that you probably missed.
I missed.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a really big thing.
Okay. They're good.
We'll get to it.
I'm so glad you're here.
No, I hadn't noticed it until you just said it. And I was like, oh, that's what that meant. Okay. Wow. So, okay. Yeah, we're good. Right, we're
so
good.
The film's so deep. Okay.
Yeah.
or I'm so dumb.
Oh, no, I too. So dumb.
Yeah. All right. So then Leatherface, that's it. Old lady's gone. He's back to his old ways, back to Leatherface. He like snaps a guy's arm backwards and then like stabs him with his own like broken bone.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Leatherface is good for using people's limbs as weapons against themselves. And so, yeah, he snaps this man's arm just like right in half and then just like starts stabbing him with the jagged end of the bone. Mm-hmm. And then somehow the guy is trying to shoot him. So he like aims the gun at the guy driving the car. So he shoots the cop in the driver's seat and then they crash into like one of those corn harvester things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now everyone's hurt.
Everybody.
Except Leatherface.
Everyone's hurt. Different Leatherface, yeah. He survives the crash. Okay. So we cut back to the auction is going on and, you know, everybody's getting ready to, you know, buy up this town. The sister, Lila, she walks off. She finds Richter, the guy from the gas station.
Yeah. And she, again, is not minding her own business because she just kind of walks into this man's area and is like, so why are you such a nihilist?
Yeah.
Like, Why don't you care about the world? Like, what's wrong with you?
Why are you this way?
And he's like, I don't know you. Mm-hmm. Like, and I don't like people who I don't know in my business and are also talking to me. And I was like, I feel like this guy's the bad guy. I was like, should we be feeling like this guy's the bad guy? And I don't know why I felt like that, knowing that I just saw Leatherface rip somebody's arm off.
Yeah.
But I still didn't trust this man in this moment. He's like, you want to see my gun? She's like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, then his explanation for why he's being like this is like, I'm a Texan. I don't like people telling me what to do. Especially city, out of town folk like you.
Mm-hmm. She's like, that makes sense. Yeah. That's definitely what we are. Yeah. I mean, he's not wrong. I mean, y'all just showed up here and was like, we own the town. Also, we kicked this old lady out. You know, so from his point of view, he's probably spot on. But yeah, she notices his gun on the table and they start talking about that. She's like, is it loaded? And he's like, yeah. And so he unloads the gun and hands it to her. Like, have you ever shot one of these things? And this is when we find out that, yes, she has been shot and she survived a school shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so we keep getting flashbacks of her like laying on the ground during that school shooting, injured from the bullet wound.
Yeah, and she kind of hits it off with this guy, where at the point where like Mel is going to come in and find her, she's coming out of the bathroom and she's smoking a cigarette, and Mel's like, "Oh my god, did you and this guy just?" And she's like, "No, he's just my friend." Okay,
like, dang, I just wanted to use the restroom. Gosh. Get off my back. Like, but what about it if I did? But here's the thing. She better not be out here like just like busting it down with random Richter guy. Like, stop it. She's been here 7 minutes, yeah. Mel. Give her some credit.
Also, like, is she even 18? Lila, who went through, like, you know.
She's been through a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Teenager.
I was like, I don't know how old these kids are. They're obviously grown enough to be doing something this dumb. But I wasn't worried. I was more worried about her hanging out with Richter. But her sister seemed like she was worried about her, like, just randomly getting into a like sexual encounter with the guy. It just felt weird.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So Mel talks to Dante. They found out that the old lady died.
Yeah. Dante's wife / girlfriend. What is her name?
Ruth.
Yeah. Ruth, yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah,
old lady name. Okay. Grandma Ruth said, she texts back like, hey, lady's dead. And so they start to like feel really bad. And this does affect Mel. Mel is like, okay, I don't like this anymore. Like, I feel like we are responsible for killing this woman. It's time for us to go. She wants to call the whole thing off. And I'm like,
right.
I too probably would want to call the whole thing off.
And also it is unclear, like, maybe she was right. Maybe we didn't have the rights to this house. Like, she might have been in the right on that thing.
Yeah, because the thing is, they initially say that, you know, if you have the deed, you need to show it to us. But when it's time for them to leave, when Mel is like, hey, let's just leave town, Richter comes and takes the keys. Richter's like, no. Y'all came here and ruined this lady's life. Like, y'all basically like just came and upended everything that she knew, saying that y'all owned it. Well, show me the paperwork. And they're like fumbling through their things. Dante's checking the files. Like, I know the deed is around here somewhere. And Rick's like, yeah, you find me that deed and then you can leave the town. But until then, I'm not giving you your keys back. Mm. And that's when it starts to be unclear. Like, well, I mean, if they can't find the deed, is it even theirs? So the plan here, and I'm confused about the plan, is that they say that, well, since we don't have it, maybe the old lady has a copy of it.
Yeah.
Is that what they were going
to do? We're going to go through all of her paperwork. I'm sure she has all of her files neatly organized.
Yeah.
I'm sure, like, she's not a 100-year-old hoarder.
Right.
That's like been living in an abandoned orphanage for 50 years.
Not abandoned if she lived there.
Yeah.
They're just like, let's just break into her house again, dig through her stuff, and then we will find the documentation we need. But I was trying to figure out, like, what documentation were they looking for? Were they looking for something that says that, yeah, like, I have sold this to Dante? Or were they looking for, like, the lady's documentation to almost pose as if it's their own? Like, why did they need to go get the woman's deed? It's not theirs.
Right. I don't know. I don't know how this all works. I mean, I thought it was like incredulous. Like, if I needed to find like an important paper that was mine, I know I couldn't find it. So I don't know how they're going to go find an important paper that belonged to this lady. And I don't know, like, if the house, if the bank takes it, do they like come and they need to take the deed away from you? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how this works.
Yeah, I was confused about this point too. It's like, the point here though is that Dante and the crew they don't necessarily have the moral high ground that they thought they had, because the woman was right. The woman was right. They, when they eventually find the paperwork, it turns out that the woman still had the claims to the building, and that, they basically killed this lady on accident.
I mean, she was old.
She was fine.
You know, it wasn't her time.
She was fine before they got there. She was fine before they got there.
I mean, if they didn't go there easily, she could have made it another 2 or 3 weeks.
Easily. But, you know, they accelerated her heart disease, it seems. And so leave people alone.
Okay. All right. So, meanwhile, Grandma Ruth, she is injured in the accident. And so she is unable. She's like trying to get on the radio because she could see in the rearview mirror. Okay. Uh-oh. The guy in the back of the truck, he got out. And now he is apparently has taken the old lady out of the van and has cut her face off and is now putting on her face as a mask. He's back, baby.
Leatherface is back. You know, this is why we call him that, because he's wearing someone else's skin.
Why Leatherface? Why are you this way?
Why are you this way? Like, what is the point of the face mask? I'm not sure. But poor Ruth, she has to watch all this happen. Like, she is watching him labor over this woman's face, like basically ripping it off and then putting it on his face. And she has to watch this whole thing. Yeah. And she's sitting there trying to be quiet, thinking like, okay, well, maybe if I just like play dead, he won't bother me. He'll take this woman's face and then just walk back to town. But the cop next to her, who she thought was dead, is not dead. He starts to stir. And this brings attention to the front seat. Leatherface has to, of course, inspect the whole thing and find out, like, who's moving up here. And that's when he beats the cop's face in with whatever tool it was. I don't remember now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just very gruesome.
Chappelle, I was reading up on this a little bit. So in one of the other films, I think the 2003 version of this tried to give some backstory about Leatherface, that he had some sort of a condition that his nose was falling. Maybe like the Sphinx, maybe the aliens did it to him, like where his nose was like kind of falling off. And that's why he's wearing the extra faces.
Okay. I'm not sure. And I don't really talk about it. And I don't think it really matters in this moment. What really matters is that the sight of him like chopping someone else's face off lets you know that you're in deep doo doo. You know, like, this is the beginning of the end for all of you.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's it for Ruth. That's it. It's a very like a gentle stabbing of Ruth.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. Ruth had done nothing wrong to him.
Yeah.
Like, that Ruth was the one who was like, no, let me make sure you and your mom are safe. Yeah. I'm going to sacrifice myself, get in the car, ride with you all to the, you know, to the ambulance or whatever, to the hospital. Like, Ruth hadn't done anything, you know.
Leatherface, he's just in a mood right now.
Yeah, very upset.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I don't need any witnesses. Ruth did snitch on him. Ruth, before she died, she grabbed that little radio thing and she radioed and was like, that. Hey, I think the Leatherface guy is back. Like, I just, anybody who's listening, and people do hear, the guy at the gas station hears. And so, yeah, I think Leatherface is like, well, now I got to kill you. You didn't told on me. Mm-hmm. And so, he kills her, but then he like rubs her hair, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of like pats her down and then leaves.
Does Leatherface need more faces, or he just is like, Nick takes one face, or does he take everybody's face?
Oh, like the mini-face god. This is Arya Stark.
Puts on a
the
mask. Yeah. Why does he need so many faces?
Why did Arya need so many faces? She literally like just killed like five people.
That never made any sense. It was like it was like a whole thing. Like if you like had their face, you could like turn into that person. But I don't think that Leatherface thinks he's turning into the old lady.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. I just feel like the research is inconclusive. Like I don't think we know enough to know why he's doing this.
Does he take anybody else's face in the movie?
Not in this film.
Not in this movie. Maybe he just needs like one face to be back.
Yeah, he's just like, I need a specific face. Maybe it had to be mom's face, you know? Maybe it could, like, if it was the original, like, he couldn't have done the original face because that person's long gone. Mm-hmm. But mom's face was like the next best thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. All right. So meanwhile, back in Harlow, the barbecue is going off.
Yeah, they're doing the like the cookout type situation where everybody's like trying to prepare for the auction.
Yes, would you say is Leatherface invited to the cookout?
Absolutely not.
No.
Listen, only of all the people we've talked about, Dante is the only one invited to the cookout, and then he can make other people plates and like drop them off wherever they would like to pick them up. But at this particular outing, they're just partying. You know, they're trying to get hype for the auction, and they have no clue what is happening.
What was your Texas barbecue review of what was going on here? Would you subscribe to the M&D channel?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I need more evidence first. This is not enough to just base and give my endorsement to it. I'm sorry. No.
Sorry. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, meanwhile, the trucker guy comes out. This is when he takes all the keys. He's like, hey, I heard you killed that lady.
Yeah. Yeah. They were talking about it. Like, hey, by the way, the lady died. He was like, what? And so he snatches the keys and is like, yeah. He's like, okay, look, y'all claim that this woman had to get out of there. So now I want you to prove it to me. And they're like, sir, we don't owe you anything. He's like, well, I don't owe you these keys. And at this moment, I feel offended for them. But also, he's making good points.
Like, yeah. But also, like, he's not like law enforcement. He appears to be just sort of like a local, like run the gas station or like sort of like a handyman, right? He has like cars up on like a jack.
Yeah. He was the contractor for some of the buildings that they were doing, just kind of nicen up the place so they can bring in this, you know, this auction or whatever, but no, he's not in charge. You know, he just is deciding to be in charge in this moment. But like I said, I would normally have a big issue with that, but they started it. If everybody was minding their own business, we wouldn't be here.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you mentioned the guy at the gas station hears about this. He puts in a call to another old lady in this movie.
The oldest lady.
The oldest lady. Okay. Yes. And this is, her name is Sally Hardesty. Apparently, she was the surviving member of the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre when she was a young woman. She survived the original 1974 Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Sadly, not the same actress. Original actress passed in 2014. This is a new actress playing the same character. I think I could best describe her to our listeners who did not watch the movie. This is like Jane Bright is coming out to come back and has some unfinished business with Leatherface.
No, that is a great description. It is literally like okay, Leatherface is back.
Mr. Leatherface.
That's bad. This is exactly what they're doing. They're calling in the hard hitter here. Like, who else can take down this 6'5", 250-pound man other than the woman who narrowly escaped?
A 75-year-old lady. That's who it is.
50 years ago. Like, she was not able to stop him 50 years ago, but now she should be equipped for this because she's been spending her whole life, Rob, looking for this man. Rob,
she's got a chainsaw to grind. Yeah.
Right. But Rob, we found this man so quickly. Has she really been looking for this man? Because I mean, like, knock on a couple doors.
That hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Knock on a couple doors. I'm pretty sure you would have found Leatherface instantly, actually. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe, talk to the other old lady.
Yeah.
Have you not? There's no bingo like hall. Y'all can't go chop it up.
You think so? Okay. So, all right. Look, if we prove to Richter that we actually own the building, then it'll be fine. We'll get the keys back. Everything will be good. So Dante and Mel are going to go ransack the old lady's house.
Yeah. And this is the time where they find out, well, Mel finds in the lady's stuff, oh, look, she wasn't wrong. She does have the deed. She is the owner of this property. It was a bank mix-up, all this other stuff. Oops. Dang, we actually killed this lady. Now I feel bad. And, you know, she feels pretty bad, but nobody feels worse in this moment than Dante because Leatherhead has found him. Leatherface, I'm sorry, has found him and decided to slice him up with a cleaver. Think he just cleaver to the face?
Yeah,
that's how he took him face. Out.
Yeah, for Dante. Looks like Dante is dead.
It does look that way.
Yeah.
And you would think a lesser man would be dead in this moment. A lesser
man would be dead. Dante will rally.
That Dante, he's just the fighting spirit. just unmatched fighting spirit. Because personally, I would have died just by choice at that point. Like, nope, I'm good here. But yeah, so while this is happening, Melody is hiding in the closet, and now Leatherface isn't like on the search for like, is anybody else in my house?
Yeah,
you know, he's kind of looking around, but he's checking the closet. And Rob, I'm not gonna lie, I thought she was caught. Like I thought
she was caught too. Because Leatherface is kind of going nuts. I thought maybe he's just having like a tantrum.
Yeah, but he goes in the closet and he grabs his mom's dress. He kind of like hugs it and he cries.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's mourning her. Then he sits down and he starts to put makeup on his mom's face that he's now wearing on his face.
Oh.
And I was like, yeah. And that's why I was like, well, did the mask turn him into his mother? That's why. It's like, I'm not ready to write that theory off yet, because I watched that man apply makeup to that lady's face on his face.
Yeah, maybe if you have somebody's face and then you wear it and you look in the mirror, it's like they're not really gone.
Right. And I think that worked for like a split second. And then he got upset and then he like, yeah, just like,
it was
threw
so
his tattoo
dark.
Again.
I didn't even catch that he was, yeah, that he was putting makeup on.
Yeah, like sat down at her table. Remember, she told him, don't go into my bedroom, right? He like sits down at her, like her little station. He like puts on the makeup, cries a little bit. Hmm. But then he hears outside, wait, a bus full of people outside. These people are really here trying to sell this town. And after that, what they did to my mom, and he was not happy. Mm-hmm. But he kind of like, that's when his real tantrum starts. I'm not sure where he went, but he just kind of like goes downstairs. Oh, I know where he went. He went to go get the sledgehammer. He goes downstairs after throwing his fit, and Melody's left up in the bedroom closet, kind of like just whimpering and, you know, fearing for her life.
Chappelle, don't you feel like that old lady one, knowing she was harboring Leatherface all these years, would have removed all of the sledgehammers, chainsaws, cleavers, all of the really exotic weaponry from the house?
It had probably been.
It's an orphanage. It's not like a demolition facility.
I mean, yes. So having the sledgehammer there is probably a misstep. The cleaver is a regular, you know, item that you use to prepare dinner. You know, that's not out of the ordinary. But Rob, remember that time you said you didn't know why she told him not to go into her bedroom, right?
Yes.
When Leatherhead goes in and retrieves the sledgehammer, what does he do? He goes upstairs with the sledgehammer into her bedroom, and he starts beating a hole in the wall because the chainsaw has been hidden inside the wall, Rob.
Why not get rid of Why not get rid of it? Evidence?
No. Break glass in case of emergency, Rob. Yes. It was probably evidence. It's probably evidence. But this chainsaw is in mint condition, and he breaks through the wall in her bedroom to go get it. That's why she said, don't go in my room, because I know you about to go in there and get that chainsaw and do something crazy.
Right. Chappelle, I'm not a chainsaw guy. Okay?
No, personally? Me neither.
My wife recently has been talking about how we need a chainsaw. I don't think she's a chainsaw gal. But... Now, do you think that... It's 2022. Do you think that is this an electric lithium ion battery charged chainsaw, or does Leatherface have to continually, like, I don't know how much of how often do you have to gas up the chainsaw?
I think you can't just leave it in there for 50 years. You know, like most devices won't work if you leave them idle for too long. Yeah. But this one, this is back to normal. Like, and this is not a new chainsaw, but I mean, this is like the original chainsaw, but in great condition. Like, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe they got better gas mileage back then.
Maybe the quality of gas was different as well. Mm-hmm. This thing should not be operating at its full potential, but he has no issue getting it started. But yeah, that's why he goes downstairs, gets the sledgehammer, because he has to get in the wall and get his his prized possession, this chainsaw that his mom's been hiding.
Got it. Okay. So, all right, he's got the chainsaw and he's back. Got his face on. Got the. You know what, Chappelle? Earlier in the film, the old lady, when the kids come to the door. She's like, oh, if I would have known you were coming, I would have put my face on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Like she
there
knew.
There you go.
It was like she
It was
knew.
Right there.
It was right
it was
there.
Right there.
It was right there. Okay. So, all right. So Mel is hiding. Somehow, Dante rallies. He's going to get up.
Yeah.
He's going to get up and he's on the move.
Yeah. So... what's going on at this point is that, like, I think Mel is at this point hiding under the bed, right? She's watched him go and retrieve the chainsaw because he's retrieving the chainsaw, I'm assuming, to go chop up Dante. Mm-hmm. And so, like, Dante is like, okay, I got to get out of here. He's stumbling out. We haven't seen how bad his injuries are, but we've seen the pool of blood that he was laying in. So we know that he's not great. It's raining outside. There's like a random rainstorm has like come into town. And so all the
bad
people
in the cookout, for the rain.
Yeah, not great. Not great for the auction. And so they end up getting on the bus. And so Dante has to get there to alert everybody of what's going on. And the first person who sees him is Richter. And Richter, again, has decided he's in charge in this moment. And he's like, you, buddy, where are you going? Where are you coming from? What'd you do in that lady's house? And then as he gets closer, he's like, are you okay, kid? Is everything fine?
Not okay. And,
yeah, Dante turns around. He's like, got the Joker-esque like, cut from his ear to his mouth.
Yeah.
Just like hanging out. Very disgusting. Very gory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Dante.
Yeah, R.I.P. Dante. Richter holds his hand, like, stay with me. Like, stop it. Let him die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is this
And Richter, not for anything. This is, you know, kind of on you also. You took his keys.
You did make him go in the house, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the choices are being made left and right. There's blame to be, you know, put on many people in this moment.
They tell the banker lady, call the cops. Call the cops. Do the cops ever come? Is she not able to get the call out?
I don't think she calls the cops. They're like, call the cops, help. And they
maybe
run
there are no
to
cops
the bus.
Left. Yeah, there was only two cops and they're dead now.
Yeah, they're dead. That sounds about right, actually. Small town, they don't need a lot of police, and the two that we have have been murdered
already,
by
they're already dead. Yeah.
Yeah, the murderer here. So yeah, this is exactly what that is.
Okay. So Richter, he heads into the house. He's gonna take on Leatherface one on one. Now, is there any backstory between two of the only three former residents of Harlow are facing off here?
Yeah, it's like, do you not know this gentleman? Y'all never seen each other, like a local CEFCO, you know, I don't know. And so, Richter is just kind of like, I have to save the day. Luckily, I have this gun. You know, this is a time where they wish they had a gun. I can go in and shoot the man and I'll be fine. Yeah, he has his pistol, you know. And so while Richter is going in there to confront Leatherface, Catherine, the banker, is back on the bus with all the people, right?
Yeah.
And this is where, like, the fighting begins with Richter. Like, he's like, he puts up a very good fight. Yeah, for someone who is completely outmatched in every way. He is doing a good job. Yeah. But when that sledgehammer kind of takes out his entire leg, Rob, I didn't need that.
You didn't need that. Richter picked a odd time. The man has an AK-47 out. If there was ever a time to go use it. Like, oh, once you see Dante, okay, face sliced open, let me go get that assault rifle that I have lying around for reasons. This might be the day.
The man went in there with a pistol. Mm-hmm. Like, I just feel like when you saw the nature of that injury, you say, you know what? Just to be safe. There is that one urban legend that we all know about in this town that has never been solved. Maybe this is the moment that I should go and prepare for that. Because otherwise, why do you have the gun? Why does it exist? Why do you have the AR-15? Like, why do you have it? I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make any sense. You're not going to use it? You use the pistol? Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Feral hogs.
Yeah.
Feral
Those hogs. Girls said, like, hey, I guess you have to have that gun because you have a small peen. And he's like, oh, okay, well, if I get out an even bigger gun, then everybody's going to laugh at me.
Like, I don't want those girls
All these
to
influencers
shame me.
Will laugh at me.
I'll go viral.
Okay. So then we see Mel trying to get away. She ends up, like, in the crawl space of this house. Very creepy.
No. What happens is she's sliding down, like, very Home Alone-esque. She's, like, sliding down the banister of the rail of the stairs because she can't walk down the stairs because it's too creaky, right? Too creaky. Doesn't want to set him off. But she jumps down the stairs. You think she's made it, but at the top of the steps, Leatherface has finally seen her. And like Captain America, he just, like, throws that damn thing
Hammer
at her.
Throw,
like,
no, right. Well,
yeah, it's very Thor-esque. Like, he throws the hammer and, like, it spins and, like, pow, right in the chest. And then she falls through the floor. And the strength of this woman. Like, I mean, it, her adrenaline must be going crazy because this woman just got hit in the chest with a sledgehammer and fell through the bottom of the, like, the floor, and she's still running for her life. I was very proud of her.
She's tough. Okay, so she goes through the crawl space. Leatherface has his chainsaw, and he's, like, stabbing it into the floor, and he's just narrowly missing her. And it looks like that Mel is basically, she's about to be, you know, chopped liver, very literally. Her sister is, like, trying to help her get out. And then somehow, luckily, like, Leatherface, he ends up, like, chainsawing, like, a huge pipe of raw sewage onto Mel. But then they're able to get out.
Whew. Yeah, there was, like, a brief Shawshank moment.
Yes.
You know, where, like, she crawls through some sewage. It was gratuitous as well. Didn't mean anything. She caught a couple injuries in this moment, though. Like, I mean, that sledgehammer grazed her a few. I'm sorry, not this. Well, the sledgehammer knocked her out pretty good. But that chainsaw grazed her a couple times. So now she's injured. And Lila, her sister, is here to save the day. And Leatherface is still stuck inside, you know. So he has to try to get to them. But they have to try to get to the bus because now they have the keys. And so they can go to the bus and get out of town. That's the goal.
Chappelle, I think that this ends up setting off the most memorable sequence in the film. Where now...
Oh, really?
I think so. I think this is like a big set piece where, okay, the kids have gotten onto the bus. We've got Lila. We've got Mel. We got the keys. Let's go drive the bus, and the bus takes off, and you feel like, all right, maybe they got away. And they got away. Unfortunately, I don't know if Leatherface like slashed the tires or what, but they stop the bus and open the door. The driver gets out, and we see very quickly the driver is decapitated.
Yeah. This scene that you're talking about is the reason they made this movie.
Yes.
They made this movie just so they could do this and have it on film and have it live in, you know, everybody's mind forever.
Right.
Because there is no reason. I don't know what Leatherface did to the bus to get them to stop, but there is no reason why I would have gotten off that bus. It's just no reason. There's no way.
It seems fine. Yeah. I don't know why was Leatherface at the bus stop?
Oh, like, did he signal for the bus? And the bus driver was like, well, I can't not stop. Like, yeah. So the bus driver getting off the bus was really a choice. But we don't see what Leatherface did to the bus. Did he like attack the wheel? Like, you know, was it just a big
explosion. I mean, I'd imagine he like maybe like got one of the tires with, I mean, of course, Leatherface, that big lumbering 300-pound guy could, you know, outrun a bus.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you, he threw that chainsaw at the bus. He must have
I forgot the throw the chainsaw move.
That is like one of his go-to like superpowers. It really is.
They could get Leatherface in the Olympics.
Oh yeah. We legit hammer throw happened, but also like for him to be just so like he's like you said lumbering, very athletic. He doesn't miss a beat. Yeah, it doesn't miss. There's not many Olympic sports I can see him not doing. I put it like that.
Okay, so Leatherface now hops onto the bus, and what do the influencers do? They get out their phone. They get out their phone, and they're all filming. And it seems like Chappelle, many of them appear to be live. Here's Leatherface just got on the bus. Everybody.
Yeah, like, oh, y'all, look, remember that movie, Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Like, he's legit on the bus. Like, take a selfie with him. Okay, bet. And, you know, they go live, and they're trying to cancel him. They're like, hey, buddy, you try anything. That's it. It's the end of your days. Like, count your days. Your followers, your endorsements, they're gone. We're canceling you, buddy.
Yeah, I think this is the line that I think has been, like, kind of viral from this movie of, try anything, and you're canceled, bro.
And he's like, okay.
Can't cancel Leatherface.
No, it's very hard to cancel anyone. Mm-hmm. But like it's very, very, very hard to do that. But you can't cancel someone who has nothing.
He has no social media.
Nothing.
He has no endorsements.
None. Not that I know of.
I mean, maybe you could get like future editions of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre franchise not to be made.
Mm-hmm.
But
maybe. But I mean, but even then, they still probably make like a Scream version of that, right? Like, you know, mm-hmm. Scream is a franchise built on a murder franchise built on a, like a story of a murder franchise, right? Mm-hmm. And like, so you can't even cancel that. Like, if you catch this happening, we're just gonna make a movie about that too. So canceling Leatherface in that moment was all that they could do. Mm-hmm. Rob, they are trapped on this bus.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest individual they've ever seen in their lives is standing between them and the door, and he has a chainsaw. I don't know what you are to do in this moment. Just like beg for forgiveness. Like, what do you do?
I don't know.
They hadn't done anything to him. He's completely like Leatherface. You kind of started this one. They weren't bothering you, you know?
So Chappelle, now all these kids are live. You know, there was already an earlier plot point of like, is there any cell service in this town? But somehow all these kids are live. Do any of these influencers, followers, alert the authorities?
Not that we know of. I mean, we watch these people get chopped up on live, and thousands of viewers are on there. Like, we see people's Instagrams.
The
like,
comments
popping.
Are, yeah, going off.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, like, what do you do? Who do you call? Like, you call 911 in your local 911 area, and you're like, get me Harlow PD. And they're like, yeah, they're not picking up. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, what's the next closest town? Austin. Where is it? 7 hours away. Okay, well, get me Austin PD. It's like, okay, we'll be there tomorrow morning. You know, like, I'm sure there was not much they could have done.
Yeah. Well, Leatherface, he just goes to town, and he wastes everybody on the bus.
It's like the bonus level of a video game, you know, one of those like you got 30 seconds to kill as many of the zombies as you can. And like after 30 seconds, like those are just your bonus points. You can't die on this level. Mm-hmm. And that's what it was like the rapid fire game. You know, he's just like slicing this person. This person tries to go above him. He slices that person. He slices these two at the same time. Lady tries to climb out the window. He chops her in half. Like, he's out here in his bag. You know, this is probably the most action he's got in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we see Mel and Lila, they are in the bathroom. They are seemingly safe. The banker gets it. She gets cut in half. She tries to go out the window. Everybody, all the influencers now are gone. Everybody's gone. Mel and Lila almost get cut up. Leatherface is trying to get in the bathroom. Does not respect privacy
at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
People are in the bathroom. You let them do their business, Leatherface.
Yeah. Did they turn the little knob to occupy?
I think they must have locked it.
Yeah. But if you turn it to occupy, then he knows someone's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, leaving it unlocked is the move, you know, because then it says, oh, it's vacant. No one's there. I won't check it.
Chappelle, that in the previous scene, we talked about how Mel had like a big pipe full of raw sewage completely poured on her. This woman gets on the bus full of influencers, and maybe that everybody was just sort of like polite or didn't say anything because maybe Mel is like the most influential influencer of them all. But not one person was even like, hey, Mel, you stink.
Oh, yeah. I know it smells crazy in there. Mm-hmm. I know it, dude.
I mean, maybe the whole bus might smell. I mean, there's a porta potty on there.
Yeah, no, but nothing smells as bad as Mel. She's been through.
Chris Kirkpatrick says that you do whatever you do, you don't poop on the bus.
Right. But like, she is the poop. Like, when she got on the bus, the poop was on her. You know, like, she is the drama here. Like, don't make no mistake. When she got on that bus, they probably were like, ew. But she had no patience for them. You know, she was not trying to explain to them. There would be too many layers, right, to explain to them that you just watched Dante get chopped up. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot going on. And so, yeah, she stinks. Leatherface was going to find her because there's no hiding that smell.
Right. Now, does Leatherface have a sense of smell if he does not have a nose?
That is true. Does Leatherface have a nose? We have to look into the past movies. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what we'll do. That'll be our next journey. We'll go back and like track the story of Leatherface to see if this is canon.
I don't know how smell works. Like, if you have no nose, can you smell?
I am not a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Is it just a hole? Yeah. Like, I don't know. I don't know how it works. Yeah. Okay.
I will never know.
So, all right, Mel and Lila, they get away, but guess who's here? Jane Bright.
Yeah.
The old lady.
So they're trying to fight their way out of the bathroom. And I think Lila's out or Mel's out, but Lila's about to get cut up. And then she realizes, oh, look, a chainsaw on my keychain that I can stab him with. Like, I guess the guy.
Is that Richard, a chainsaw? I thought it was like a corkscrew.
It looked like a chainsaw.
Yeah.
It might have been a corkscrew that was designed to look like a chainsaw. A chainsaw. But she stabs him and she gets out. And so at that point, they're running through the rain. You're thinking they're not going to get far, right? Because they're in the middle of the desert. God knows where the Tesla is. Yeah. And so they hit the corner, and that's when Jane Wright pulls up in the sheriff's car because she's gone. She's investigated the scene. She knows what's going on. She now has a vehicle. She's ready. She says, get in, kids. I got you. Get in the back, though, so where you cannot get out.
Mm-hmm.
Get there. And then she, instead of taking them to safety, says, all right, stay in the car. I'm about to go kill them.
Yeah.
I'm like, payback. Wait, what?
It's payback time.
Like, listen, just leave us the keys. Mm-hmm. You pay him. Go pay back. Go get your payback. We will leave and we'll come back for you when you're done. But I'm not staying here to wait for you to go fight Leatherface with one gun.
Mm-hmm. So the old lady, she goes right up to Leatherface and she's got him like point blank. She's got her shotgun. She's like, Kirk, Pamela, Jeremy, Franklin. Say my name. This is like a quiz, like when Teddy Mellencamp was like, all right, Chris Kattan, what's my name? Cruella? Like,
Heisenberg. She wanted him to
say my
name. Exactly. She wanted him to pay homage. You know, like, you remember that time you ruined my life? You know, remember all my friends that you murdered? And he's like, no, I just killed a bus full of people. You think I'm like chronicling these murders? I don't know you, lady.
Leatherface doesn't talk.
Yeah.
He doesn't talk.
He can't talk to you, lady. Like, what do you want from him?
Yeah.
And Leatherface in this moment realizes, I'm not in any real danger here. This woman ain't got the guts to shoot me. So instead of attacking the woman, he walks right past her. He just leaves.
Just whatever.
My girl, call somewhere. If he was going to shoot me, you would have shot me.
I can't even with you.
Right. Like, I ain't got time for this. Mm-hmm. And he goes outside. And he's like, look, since you in here playing, pointing a gun at me that you obviously not going to use, let me go outside and find these girls that you thankfully, you have locked them in the back of this car that they can't get out of. So you've done my work for me. Let me go kill them. And so next thing you know, Leatherface just walks up to the car unscathed and just starts to attack Mel and Lila again. They can't catch a break.
Yeah. And so... he's going after them. And Lila, this is when she's talking to Mel, she's like, you know what? I was supposed to die in the school that day. Which again, really gross. Like, I don't, you know, like, we're taking like a very serious, like, not fun subject. Like, bringing it into Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
For no reason.
Yeah,
like it'd be different if it paid off as a plot point, but it's really just a commentary on, like, when people survive these horrific things, they have to live with the memory of that. And then they also have to live with the pressure that they have to, like, make something of themselves, right? So she's one of the survivors from the school shooting, and she feels the pressure of, like, if I'm not super successful or making a difference in the world, then my life has been a waste. Like, I was spared for no reason. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, that is a message, but you're also just throwing it out there for no reason. Like, it's not paying off in the plot. Mm-hmm. It's almost just kind of tacky in a way, right? I'm not gonna lie to you. Mm-hmm. You know, like, let that be the thing that motivates her to survive this all or something. But this is not what's happening here. This is not the story of that. This is just her recounting that and then going back to narrowly avoid being murdered in this moment. Like, nothing changes.
Yeah. So, okay, Leatherface is distracted by the old lady. The old lady.
She finally got the gun to work. Mm-hmm. So she shoots him and then she's yelling at him like, woo! Like, yes! I got you! Like, she's not really, she's more like kind of relishing in the moment of the battle, right? She's not killing him, but she's also kind of fired up, you know, her juices are flowing now. And it's just very weird.
Did she get a hit on Leatherface? I feel like she missed.
She got one, like, to the shoulder, but it really doesn't do much. Like, she's pretty much paralyzed in fear for the most part.
And then she needed glasses, Chappelle?
Look, I don't know many people that age who don't.
I mean, now, you know, Leatherface is like, you know, probably like 40, 50 feet away.
Yeah. With a shotgun, it can't be that easy. It's not that easy of a shot. But again, she had a closer shot.
She was at point blank range. Yeah.
Yeah, she couldn't do it. That, you know, that's a an indictment on her, not you know, her vision. That was just, she just didn't have it in her.
Should she have given Leatherface a hint? I guess maybe the hint was the names of her other friends, but maybe you know, her name is Sally. Maybe she should have been like, you know, what's my name? I'll give you a hint. I might rhymes sell with seashells by the seashore.
Right. Rhymes with Ally Lasher. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Ally Slasher. It's me, Sally.
Whoa.
Yeah. This is one of those things where it's like, Sally, what did you want? You remember, we talked about Game of Thrones a little bit, but you remember that time that the Viper guy fought the mountain, and he's like, admit that you killed my sister. Admit that you killed my sister.
Yeah, that's just like this. Up. Yeah.
Yeah. The mountain just finally was like, or I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
And we were like, ooh, like he shouldn't have done that. It's like, it's kind of what he wanted, though.
But it all really worked out for that guy, because now he's Mando. I think he's still Mando.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I would have never known that.
Yeah.
This is a Star Trek, Next Generation. Star Wars.
I mean, Mando's kind of like wears a mask also, like Leatherface.
Mm. So the mountain is Leatherface and Mando is the Viper, or no?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the mountain is sort of like has like kind of like a Leatherface thing going on also.
Yeah, not to spoil Game of Thrones for all of you who are currently watching.
9 years since that happened. Yeah,
it's fine. Yeah, it's fine. Y'all will be okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, all right. The old lady, though, look, she had a good run, but Leatherface is just going to like give her like, you say like sort of like the Goldberg charge.
Yeah, yeah.
Spear tackle.
It's very weird because like Leatherface has gone, like she's run him off with her gun. And so she's sitting there and she kind of can peep that he's coming around the corner. And then he just takes off running at her. Like he's running full speed at her with the chainsaw. And she has the gun. So again, you should shoot him.
Yeah. Shoot him. Also, Chappelle, what do you think Leatherface, what do you think his 40 time is?
Oh yeah, I was thinking about this for a long time actually. I was like, like this guy is too big to not be fast, but also he's like been injured. Like he's been in very like a few public fights at this point. You know what I'm saying? Like that fight with Richter should really be like like taking like a toll on him. And it's just not even doing anything. Like the man runs a 4.2, you know, like it's
4.2.
It's crazy. Yeah.
The man is crazy. You should go to the NFL combine.
I mean, he probably had like in a past life before this. You cannot be this size in Texas and not play football. It's just not a thing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He probably has a that storied was career.
That's probably how he lost the nose.
Probably.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. You know. Did they have the full face mask in 74?
Or was he a leatherhead at that point?
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. The old lady, she has been very badly hurt at this point. They ask the old lady. Actually, then here comes Lila. She comes out with the AK-47. Like, all right, it's time, Leatherface. You're about to be on the business end of this AK-47. But then it wasn't even loaded.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on, right? So the old lady and Leatherface have their fight. He dispatches the old lady very publicly with this like chainsaw. So she should be dead. Lila and Mel finally get into the sheriff car and they're like, we're leaving. We're driving off. But Mel is like, I got to run him over, though. Like, I got to hit him with the sheriff car because it makes sense, right? But Leatherface, I mean, his mind. He throws the chainsaw at the car, then like spins off the side of it, and, like punches the car, like, and then she like loses control.
They get like a glancing blow on Leatherface, but it's not enough.
No, but that the way he threw that chainsaw, like, and took out her line of vision, and then she crashed into the building. It was brilliant. I was like, oh, Leatherface, like a tactical genius.
Well, maybe he could play quarterback, maybe, because it's like here's the rush coming. Leatherface has like, you know, 0.2 seconds to like pinpoint accuracy. Also, I mean, he's like a Cam Newton in his prime. It's just like a Josh Allen.
Yeah, he throws a chainsaw and just hits the meanest dab you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like the craziest. Like, I was like, how? Who is this guy?
Does he rip off his shirt? It has the S logo?
Superman. Yeah, it's Superman. What? Look, when we do Leatherface's like remake to that Sean Payton movie, like I don't want to hear anything about Leatherface Home Team 2, Leatherface is revenge.
Yeah.
Also in Texas. But yeah, this is a wild encounter they have here with Leatherface. And I just was so impressed by how he was able to do that. But in this crash, Mel is now injured, right? So Mel is in the car. She has like been punctured by something.
Yeah, she got like a beam through her leg.
Right, right, exactly. So Lila ends up leaving Mel in the car. And that's when Leatherface kind of merges on her and says like, okay, I'm about to kill you now. And Mel is apologetic. She's like, listen, I know I'm about to die. Let me just say, very sorry about your mom. Sorry for your loss. My condolences, thoughts and prayers. And that's when Lila shows up with the AR-15. Like, that's when she shows up and she's like, she's got the thing. And she's like, she's grabbed the man's gun and like, oh yes, look at this. She's overcome her gun fear. Everything's going to be okay now. No, it's not loaded because Richter took all the bullets out for you to look at it.
Yeah.
There's no bullets in the gun.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Okay.
What is this?
So, all right. But guess what? The old lady is back.
Somehow, she has managed to survive being chainsawed.
She can take a hit. She can take a hit. Yeah.
Very strong lady. Jane Bright-esque, if you will.
Yeah.
From the rubbish, she's like over there in like a pile of trash, like shooting, but she's got pinpoint accuracy right now.
And this is not even her first rodeo with Leatherface. That she's tough.
Yeah, the old lady just, I mean, has got demolished by this chainsaw. But she's very strong. You know, she used her last bit of strength to like
and salty.
In a pile of trash. Yeah. Like, yeah, very much so. And she's like shoots the gun, pinpoint accuracy all of a sudden from this lady who, like I said, should be wearing glasses more than likely. Mm-hmm. And she shoots this man and then has time to like use the other bit of strength she has to reload the gun and then give it to Lila and say, look, I know you want to run away, but if you run away, he's going to haunt you the rest of your life. Like, look at me. And so you need to stay and kill him. You got to fight him.
No, you run.
And I just disagree.
Chappelle.
Yeah. 100% of the time you run.
Yeah.
You do not stay and fight this man because he cannot catch you.
Right.
Leave Texas.
Leave Texas.
He cannot catch you.
You think Leatherface is boarding a plane?
Right. Exactly. Leave Texas and never come back.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for Lila, the memory of like having two traumatic things that she can't shake on her brain, you know, that's haunting her is just too much, right? She's already trying to like get rid of the memories of the school shooting. And now she would have Leatherface's memory, plastered into her mind forever. And so she's got to kill him. At least that's what the old lady says. I completely disagree, though. Just run.
Just run. Okay. So she follows Leatherface into the house, right? And
it's a certain building. I don't know which house this is.
Some building with like a moat or like what is this pool of water that's just like in like there's like floorboards and then water.
Yeah, I'm still unclear about what type of building this was, but they seem to Leatherface seemed to know his way around the building because he's hiding.
Yeah, like an indoor pool. What is this?
Very weird. It's very weird. I'm not sure how they ended up I didn't know if that was just from the rainstorm, like the water was just sitting inside like a hole.
Like abandoned building, broken floor, like filled with like a pool of water.
Yeah, very odd. Very odd. But this is where our next fight scene is going to take place.
Yes. Okay. All right. Can you describe the fight between Lila and Leatherface?
So Lila is like she's now the hunter, right? And so she has the gun and she's looking and she can hear the humming of the chainsaw. So she's trying to find it. She's like pulling back the curtains, looking around, and then she finally finds like where the chainsaw is hidden. But Rob, it's a decoy. It's a decoy. Leatherface has set up a trap, a booby trap.
His mind. Yeah.
Yeah. So while Lila is pointing the gun at the chainsaw that's sitting idly on the ground, Leatherface like tackles her like a defensive end, like boom, like right into the water, spear, just into the water.
Chappelle, you do such a great job on this play by play. You're like the John Madden of Leatherface.
R.I.P. to the big dog. R.I.P. Yeah. Yeah. Like, no, like I told you, I was very impressed. Very impressed. We're going to have to put him in the combine so I can really look at his skills here. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, this spear like maneuver he does, it just like tackles her into the water. I'm thinking now the water is going, like the fight is going to take place underwater. Like he's going to be down there like punching at her. She's going to be like trying to maneuver. No, nope. They go into the water and she climbs out.
Mm-hmm. Get out. Yeah.
Seemingly unscathed by being tackled by this huge man. Like, she climbs out of the water, mm-hmm. And she's trying to make her way to the gun. And then that's when Leatherface is like, no, no, I'm too clapping out the water. Like, he jumps out the water like Shamu. Like, mm-hmm. just like, no arms or legs involved. Just like, flounders his way out of the water. And now he's on her ass. Like, he's grabbing at her leg, trying to pull her back. This is a very intense moment.
Very intense moment. And it looks like that's going to be it for Lila.
Yeah, so she makes a run for the gun. Like she takes off running. And then my guy Leatherface, his signature move, he slingshots the chainsaw.
This was almost like a bowling move where he like used the chainsaw to take her legs out from under her, like vintage Akiva high game just takes out like picks up the spare.
Akiva could never, but Nicole Cesarino, she got it in her.
Yeah.
You know, former collegiate bowling superstar, Nicole Cesarino. And he doesn't like chop her legs off with the chainsaw.
No, he just uses it
as like a tripping device.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's the skill, Rob. Okay. Yeah. Are you seeing how this man maneuvers? It's crazy.
Right. I mean, who would think to use sort of like the butt of the chainsaw as a weapon?
Uh-huh.
Only Leatherface.
Just throw the chainsaw at her. Like, but no, he like had to trip her up. So,
yeah, he's toying with her. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is the end, right? Like, she's down there on the ground. She cannot get to the gun. Yep. She can hear the chainsaw whirring over her. She turns over. She's having her PTSD moments. It's all over but the crying. But when she looks up at Leatherface, something is on his back. It's Mel. Mel is back from the car. She has somehow survived all these interactions and these injuries. And she is like choking him out. Like, she's rear naked choke. She's like sleeper hanging on for dear life.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. She's trying to take him down, which of course we know is not going to work out for her. But it's a valiant effort as she gets tossed into like the abyss. She's just thrown over into like a random pile of rubbish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that opens the door though for Lila to be able to get the gun back.
Yeah. And Lila uses two bullets. And he doesn't go down. But now she's out of bullets. So we're back at square one. It's now Lila standing in front of Leatherface, who is not dead, who is prepared to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like in the moment they are like, you're thinking, okay, now it's over. We've run out of guns. Like, you know, Mel is on the ground. Like, it's only Lila's left. But somehow in this like amazing feat of strength, Mel has managed to pick herself back up, retrieve the chainsaw, rev that bad boy up from, I guess you had to prime it or something. I don't know. Again, this is the craziest chainsaw I've ever seen. Yeah. But
it's been in the water, right?
It's been everywhere. Mm-hmm. But Mel has managed to get it back up to speed, and she like lands this final killing blow on Leatherface, like with an uppercut move, like, ah! Mm-hmm. Like, and everybody's like screaming, like, yeah! She did it. Mm-hmm. It's wild. There's blood, slow motion. It's very anime-esque. And then he falls into the water and it's all over, Rob.
Glug,
they did
glug,
it.
Glug, glug, glug. Yeah.
Yeah. The bubbles stop. Mm-hmm. It's over.
That's
he did it. She took him out.
Yeah. So, all right. Leatherface is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Cut to daytime in Harlow. Finally, the light of day. We made it through the awful night.
In my mind, though, like, they had to walk directly outside and the sun be up, right? Like, because there's no way you sleep in this town, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. So you think this was, like, 2 minutes later?
It have, like, Rob, what could you have been doing for the next, like, hour or two? You know, like, if this just happened to you, how do you not instantly leave? You know?
That's a good point.
I don't even...
Maybe they had to find out where they parked the Tesla.
Oh, yeah, they're, like, looking for their car.
Like, yeah, they're, like, walking around the town, like, trying to find where they parked it.
Yeah, they got the fob and they're pressing the little
button.
Is
there any place open to eat? Maybe they're looking for like some place to... I mean, they seemed a little cleaned up, right?
Yeah, and it was like broad daylight. So I'm not sure how much time passed, but you got to imagine these people weren't like, well, let's go sleep in the lady's bed at this point. You know what I'm saying? Like, what happens?
Right.
Yeah. So they're going to the car and they're kind of like, oh, you know, I would never let that happen to you. I would never let anything happen to you. I would never let you die in a situation like I have your back. You're my sister. I love you. Blah, blah. They set the Tesla on autopilot.
Yeah. Well, they grab the old lady's hat and her picture. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. They grab the old lady's hat.
We'll always remember the old lady. Yeah.
We cannot forget you, old lady, who could have ended all of this by just driving us away when we said mm-hmm. help
or just shooting Leatherface when you're at point blank range.
When you could have killed him, but you mm-hmm. know, that's neither here nor there. We still have to pay homage to the old mm-hmm. lady. They set the car on autopilot, which is why we have to have a Tesla here.
Yeah.
And then as they're driving off in the slowest pull off I've ever seen from a life threatening situation,
yep.
probably going up roughly like 6 miles per hour. And Mel gets like snatched out of the car. Leatherface is back. Somehow he's managed to survive all of this. And yeah, I was yelling at the screen. Rob, were you ready for this?
This was wild. Like, like, okay, riding off. Okay, this is great. The sisters get away. And then in the last 5 seconds of the movie, Leatherface decapitates one of the main characters. And then the sister is just like, is gooped, I would say.
Yeah.
And
face cracked yeah. in a century.
Yeah.
So he snatches Mel out the car and like completely unceremoniously just like slices her head off with the chainsaw. And he's like celebrating, like, yeah, I did it. As Lila is in the car looking through the sunroof at like watching all of this happen through the sunroof while the car is on autopilot. So yeah. you had to do the autopilot thing just so you could have this scene of Mel being driven away. As she is forced to watch this happen because she yeah. can't stop the car and help her sister. Not that she should in this moment because mm-hmm. it's probably not going to work out. But yeah, she's driving away in slow motion, watching this man kind of like triumphantly kill her sister.
Yeah. Kind of spike the head a little bit at the end.
Yeah. Definitely a touchdown dance of sorts mm-hmm. happening right now. Rob, I'm not going to lie to you. In this moment, I thought Leatherface was about to sling that chainsaw at Mel and just take her out too. Take her out too. Yeah. Like, well, I mean, he's been tossing this thing around. Like I said, Captain America's shield. This thing is bouncing off of walls and stuff. Like, I thought it was going to end with like the sight of the chainsaw flying at her face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
And then we had like a post-credit scene of Leatherface like lumbering into a shack, which I think was part of the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies. But yeah, that's it. Open the door for Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. By the way, runtime on this film, I think, was an hour and 23 minutes. There are like 9 minutes left in the runtime when you get to the credits. Like in total, like this recap is way longer than the actual movie.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I remember when the credits started, I was thinking, okay, there's probably not anything I need to watch at the end of this. But then I noticed it was 10 minutes of credits. I was like, it's probably a post-credit scene.
Yeah. But the post-credit scene was like 9 seconds.
Yeah, we see him walking up to a house, which I'm assuming is the Hardesty home, like where Sally and them, like her family is from. But like, I assume that knowing that I've never seen the original, probably like, you know, it's like I said, my original is Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
And so I don't know the whatever reference they were making, but safe to say, Rob, we might get another one of these. Like, I think there's a non-zero chance.
Did it that do this well? I think it was in theaters, right? Also, in addition
I think
it's
straight to Netflix, wasn't it? I'm pretty sure this was straight to Netflix. If not, it should have been. Like, I really would hate to waste a theatrical release on this.
Are we in now for if they make another one?
I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if it comes to Netflix, we got to talk about it. We have to talk about the Princess Switch 4. We definitely have to talk about this iteration of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I'm sorry, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, it was in the Netflix top 10 last week. It had a big release as of now. It was not in the top 10 when we got to it this weekend. So it might have just been everybody checked it out who wanted to see it.
No, well, it was number 6 in movies. But yeah, as far as like in like trending, it was in the top 10 when we talked about it, when we discussed doing it. And now it's fallen out of his grace. It's been usurped by Madea's Homecoming.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there you go. That is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Chappelle, let's look ahead to next week. But anything else you want to say about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
No, that is a thing that we did.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, normally we would be talking about the cast and all this other stuff, but these were all relative unknowns. Like, I recognized a couple of them from little things here and there, but like, you know, nothing huge to talk about there. interesting. It happened. We did it.
You were so good at breaking down all the action.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I really thought I was really invested in some of the maneuvers that Leatherface was pulling off here. I was like, this is impressive.
Yeah, so, I get so caught up in the plot, but you are like so on top of like all of these, the choreography of the fights.
It's almost like there was not much plot to think about, so I just kind of found something to focus on.
Yeah.
But yes, I appreciate the compliment.
Okay. All right. So one other thing, I had an update from 2 weeks ago. We talked about the Tinder swindler. I saw that the Tinder swindler is, in addition to being on Cameo, he is also has, you can have him appear at your bar functions.
Oh, he's doing like a tour.
Yes, if you pay him. How much do you think it costs for the Tinder swindler to appear at your bar or nightclub?
It's got to be at least $1,000, because I feel like if I'm him, at this point I have enough real enemies to where I wouldn't go anywhere without getting like paid handsomely.
Yeah.
Like, he's got to have a big appearance fee, because I would think it's a setup. Like, at any point, someone should just be like attacking him, you know?
Yeah. According to the New York Post, the Tinder swindler, Simon, is charging $20,000 for nightclub appearances.
It sounds about right. Honestly, he should not get out of the bed for less. Because again, at any given time, you can just walk into a nightclub and it'd be like 40 of the 50 women that you've scammed.
Oh, I think it's like 40 like, Tinder swindlers.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that probably, why? You know, but yeah.
Why like, do you need him at a bar? Like if it was like, hey, Chappelle, go on, let's go out to the club. And you're like, I don't know. I was like, hey, Tinder swindler is going to be there.
No, Rob, you think I wouldn't go?
Is that helping though? Is that helping make
it's not the hurting? It's not hurting. I'm not gonna lie to you. As nosy
what
as
would
I
you
am,
do? You would take a picture with him?
Not with him, but of him. Mm-hmm. And I'd probably like do like Instagram commentary on all the people I see talking to him. Like, look at this poor stupid, this stupid soul. Well, they don't even know.
Yeah, Chappelle. I also want to ask you about. I feel like there's so many times on Twitter. Of course, you're such a legend on the Bird app. But I feel like sometimes you're like doing a podcast. You're like doing commentary on something that's going on Twitter. And I often, I'm so curious, and I'm looking for like the TLDR of who it is, what you're talking about. And, and I just don't even know where to go. I try to read the tweets, but I just feel like I'm missing like the inciting incident.
Rob, if you ever see me doing this, just DM me or text me. I will give you the rundown. I am dying to give someone the rundown of all this stuff, because I'm like moving the pieces around and making it make sense in my head. And so when people are like, what is Chappelle talking about? Yeah. Like, please like, give me the microphone.
Are these famous people? Are these people that Chappelle knows?
No, sometimes I know of them, and then other times it's famous to me in that moment. But no, I am in all the mess on Twitter a lot of times, just kind of peek. I like to see everything. I don't want to be involved, but I like to see everything. But yeah, if you ever see me doing something like that, please give me the opportunity to send you a long voice note.
It's almost like you're doing like what you do for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre fight scenes, but are talking about this drama on Twitter. It's like, it sounds so interesting.
I am a serious journalist. Yes. This is what I do.
Yes.
You don't respect me as a journalist.
I do.
We've talked about this.
I do.
Or do you? Since when? So if you respected me as a journalist, you would have let me break down this drama on Twitter for you a long time ago, but you've not yet given me the opportunity. But now I know, Rob. I'm going to be sending you the thread.
I feel like that you're more of an analyst where you're not breaking the story.
No. Yeah. I don't want to spread the mess.
You are a commentator.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. This is why you pay me the big bucks. This is what I do. I talk about stuff. And so, yeah, no, if it's drama on Twitter, I'm normally just a step away from just seeing everything go down, but I'm not the one spreading the mess. So you have to come to me. The barrier of entry is just asking. There you go.
Yeah. I mean, this should be its own podcast of like, okay, here's just a bunch of stories that I heard on Twitter this week that you have no idea about. Right.
Rob, if you give me 6 months, I'll compile like a 2 hours worth of this. I can do that. And like, do not threaten
number
me with a good
one
time.
Podcast in America.
Do not threaten me with a good time. Just let me go compile some Twitter stories, and I got you. I got you hooked up.
All right, Chappelle. Next week.
Yeah.
I hear there is already a prohibitive favorite in the clubhouse.
Yes, I've been talking to a potential co-host about one of your faves. Mm-hmm. I heard you were into this one. This is a family fave at the Cesternino home. Rob, it might be time for us to do Cuphead.
Cuphead. So make no mistake. Okay. I am not personally a fan of the Cuphead. Okay. He is not Cuphead and Mugman. These are not my guys. Okay. But there are other people who live here who are big Cuphead and Mugman stans.
Yeah. So we got to pander to our audience here. You know, like we got to give the kids what they want. Like I said, our potential guests, they have a kid as well. And so if we can get the scheduling worked out, then I think we might have a kid friendly episode of Nothing But Netflix where we talk about Cuphead.
Cuphead is it based on a video game of the same name. It is like sort of like a very old timey, like 1940s type animation that, you know, and it's sort of like very like done earnestly like that. It's not like that there is like that type of animation, but sort of like very modernized. You know, it's almost like that they are very faithful to that sort of era in terms of like what this is.
Oh yeah, see, I am completely out of my realm here. I have no clue what we're about to do with the Cuphead. I have nothing, no insight at all. Like, you could tell me this was an adult cartoon, this is a child, like I have nothing. This Cocomelon, I'm out on all this stuff. So I'm excited to kind of dive into a world that I am new to completely.
Yeah. So Cuphead, I mean, you could tell somebody who doesn't know, like, oh, this is from 1947 and like they would watch it and not think that you were trying to trick them. That this is a new show on Netflix.
And so it's supposed to look like it's from 1947.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think that is number one. But I think that we will have a couple other options and we will be taking requests as well. If there are like scheduling conflicts with what we're trying to do with Cuphead, then of course we'll be looking for other things to be like, you know, to stand in for Cuphead in the meantime. Mm-hmm. And so if we don't do Cuphead this week, I can assure you it's probably coming. But yeah, we're still listening to all the suggestions. So make a recommendation.
The D is number one, Chappelle.
We can do it. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Yeah. Maybe I'll text Asia and see if she's down, but, Asia and Mari. I'm going to have to bring in the hard hitters for this one. We'll see.
The heavy hitters.
Yeah, I got to bring in the big dogs. And I think like in the meantime, if you're listening to this still, send us your recommendations and your suggestions because we're always listening. We're always trying to keep track of what people want to hear us talk about and what people are watching on Netflix, what's popular, what's trending, all that good stuff. So let us know.
Can I give you one other one that I watched on Netflix this week? So there was a new thing that dropped called Cat Burglar.
Oh, have you seen this? I have no clue what this is.
It's a cartoon, but it's kind of more of a video game than an actual like Netflix. Oh. It's one of the Netflix interactive shows, which I think the biggest of those was sort of the Black Mirror. Did you are you a Black Mirror guy?
I'm not, but I remember the Kimmy Schmidt interactive one.
Yeah.
And I hated it because I'm one of those people who puts on Netflix before I go to sleep.
Right.
And you then can't all even the interactive ones, yeah, it just keeps repeating.
Right. You can't like do it from like an Apple TV. You can only like do it from a computer and you have to put in the choices. Cat Burglar, it's sort of like a Tom and Jerry type cartoon also, which is like also like kind of like an old timey cartoon where you're a cat, where there's a cat that's trying to break into a museum. And then at certain points, there will be like a bunch of like trivia questions that come up and you have to enter the right answer like very quickly or the cat dies. And like I was not prepared. I thought I was getting ready for like should I go up the ladder or go down the slide, and it was like trivia, and I was like, and you have like 10 seconds, and I was really like not prepared for that.
Yeah, I wouldn't know what to do with this because, like I said, when I cut on Netflix, I normally just am like watching it passively, you know. And so, at no point do I know where the remote is. Like, you know, like I use it to skip the intro and, you know, and hit next. So a lot of times, but that's it. So I'm not prepared to be on
a computer. You can't even do it like on a regular like
absolutely
with a remote.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about it, I'm down.
It was this is not enough to talk about there. It was like fun for like 10-15 minutes with my kids. Cat burglar. Okay. Yeah.
Cat burglar. All right. Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Okay. All right, Chappelle, what's coming up for you? Mm.
Oh man, I think this is busy season for Chappelle, you know, and so of course doing this with you every week, but on Post Show Recaps, I am booked. Still talking about Bel Air with Puya. Mm-hmm. We are working our way through that first season of that Peacock show, and so if you haven't checked that out, please check out the Post Show Recap for Bel Air because it's a great time. Also, if you're listening to this, check out the coverage of The Walking Dead on Post Show Recaps, where Jessica Lease, AJ Mass, myself, and Josh Wigler are still talking about that, you know, until the end of time.
Yep.
And I'm having a great time. Like, the last episode was really good, Rob. I was very, very happy with
it.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, this is fun. And so we got a new villain in town, and I'm liking this new villain. Yeah, so that's a good time. So check that out, because I think we're in a good spot.
If you like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you'll love The Walking Dead.
Probably, you know, like there's probably an overlap there somewhere. But yeah, check that out. And then
in case you've never heard of The Walking Dead, it's a new show that is back for season 11.
Right. No. Yeah. No. Question mark. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's probably got as many spinoff and remakes as the Texas Chainsaw Massacre mm-hmm. at this point. But mm-hmm. yes.
Same demos watching Walking Dead and Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
100%. Mm-hmm. Like, we're out here. We know who we are at this point. But yeah, so check that out. That's always a good time. And then, Rob, we have Big Brother Canada and Survivor in front of us. Yep. And so I'll be popping up whenever you need me.
Yep. And of course, if you're listening to Nothing But Netflix, we already know you're a Chappelle fan. Why don't you listen to Chappelle on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, where we talked about the short-lived VH1 show, The Pickup Artist, featuring Mystery, and we talked about some of Mystery's tactics and whether or not any of them are still applicable. Very fun podcast with Chappelle. Great Renap episode this week.
Yeah, I had a blast, and yeah, it was very fun, like, finding out that Akiva is one of, like, the disciples of Mystery. Like, mm-hmm. who would have guessed, you mm-hmm. know? But thanks to our conversation, I think we got to the bottom of
very
it.
Informative.
And, you know, yeah, very informative. I was proud of Akiva for that one. But yeah, mm-hmm. it was a good time. So check me out all in all of those places. And follow me on Twitter at Chappelle's_show, where I'm just tweeting out a Twitter mess.
Yes.
And I'll start giving y'all the TLDR of please, what's happening
please.
If yeah. you want it. You know?
Yeah.
Just at me.
Yeah. All right. Thank you all so much for checking out Nothing But Netflix, of course. Go to robiswebsite.com/Netflix feed if you want to leave us your feedback and your star ratings. Thank you so much, everybody. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.